First of all, I want to begin today by saying I am so thankful to God that we have a new Supreme Court justice confirmed. Hallelujah. For the first time in my lifetime, we now have a conservative Supreme Court that stands for what we believe as Christians. I've seen so much garbage over the last 3 weeks that it has made me nauseous as a born-again believer to see these things going on in our country. And I just say today, thank God for Justice Kavanaugh being confirmed to the Supreme Court. And I believe I am looking forward to the day when Roe versus Wade is overturned. Come on. Every year in our country, 1.5 million babies are aborted. I saw a ultrasound image the other day, a 3D ultrasound image of my new grandson. Come on. Do you realize that all across this country, babies my grandson's age are aborted and never given a chance to see life? And I thank God that one day, I believe with all of my heart, we're going to see a change in this nation. Genesis 12 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go out from your country, your relatives, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And then I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will exemplify divine blessing." I've read this 100 times at least, and that verse has never hit me like it did today. So that you, Abram, will exemplify blessing. Are you getting that this morning? I want when people look at me, they say, that man is a blessing from God. He exemplifies God's favor and God's blessing. God said, I will bless those who bless you, Abram, but the one who treats you lightly, I must curse. And all the families of the earth will bless one another by your name. Here in Genesis 12, we have one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, truly great passages of Scripture, talking about Abram, the father of the Israelite people, and the nation today known as Israel. And when God spoke His covenant blessing over Abraham, the blessing that would later extend to his sons Isaac, to Jacob, and eventually the entire nation of Israel, since their reestablishment in May of 1948 as a nation, Israel has overcome impossible odds. They won the 6-day war in 6 days so God could rest on the 7th day. Isn't that incredible? And God said, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter to me today what you think of our president. But he did one thing besides appointing Supreme Court judges. He did one thing that will bring blessing upon this nation when he established the embassy in Jerusalem and moved it from Tel Aviv. A blessing came upon the United States of America. Our economy has been blessed. Come on, church. He said, I'll bless those that bless you, and the one that treats you lightly, I must curse. Let me tell you, Russia is cursed today because of this verse. Because they have treated the nation of Israel with contempt, and one day will invade the nation of Israel, and today they're under a curse. The Arab nations today that have attacked Israel are living today under a curse. But I want to tell you one other blessing that this extends to. It not only extends to the sons of Abraham, it not only extends to his grandchildren, it not only extends to the nation of Israel, but it extends to us as Christians, because Galatians 3:29 says this, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when God told Abraham, I'll bless you and I'll make you into a great nation and all the people of the earth will be blessed because of you, that extends to you and I today. I want you to know I'm a blessed man. For a moment, I want to look today at how much blessing is in these verses of Scripture. Just from verse 1 to 3, look what he says. I will bless you. You will exemplify divine blessing. I will bless those who bless you. and all the families of the earth will bless one another by your name. Now look at that word bless. In Hebrew, it's a word we call baruch. When I say bless the Lord, baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu. Baruch is the word for bless. And it means to kneel, to salute, to greet. But I love this one. To endue with power for success, to praise or adore. It's a three-letter word in Hebrew made up of the of just three letters, Beit Resh and He. Beit Resh and He. And it means here, when God spoke it over Abraham, it carried a meaning of, I'll endue you with power for success. When you are blessed by God, you are successful. Say amen, somebody. God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to endue you with power. I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be successful. We have a very limited concept in America of blessing. We go, achoo! And people say, bless you. Don't have a clue what that means, do they? Today I want to talk to you about the power of blessing. And eventually I want to get into a specific blessing that we call the Aaronic blessing or the priestly blessing today. I consider myself to be a blessed person. Dean's dad and Laura's dad, he always calls me Abe. How you doing, Abe? Because he says I'm so blessed that he calls me Abraham or Abe. But I want you to know I am blessed today and I consider myself blessed. It has nothing to do with my financial status. It has nothing to do with the fact that I overmarried 36 years ago when I married my lovely wife. It has everything to do with the fact that I'm a child of the Most High God. That every need I ever have had or will have has been met by my Father in heaven. I believe it also comes from the fact that we proudly fly the Israeli flag. I believe that even though we never pass a collection plate, people put money in that box where every bill we ever have is paid. The other day I sat down and wrote out a check for $6,000 to pay for the boiler. It's paid for. Wrote out a check for $2,600, I think it was, to pay for our air conditioner the other day. It's paid for. Wrote out a check for $2,500 or $2,700 for the engineer that drew up the papers for our boiler. It's paid for. Are you getting what I'm saying? Supernaturally, God, on a weekly basis, provides every need that we ever have. We are blessed partially because I believe we support and love the nation of Israel. God said this. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. They that love her shall prosper. Isn't that great? Now I'm blessed. You're about to learn why. Proverbs 18:21 says this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, are you getting this? When God created you, He created you in His image. Male and female are both created in the image of God. God is a three-part being. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When God created you, He made you spirit, soul, and body, made in His image. And you know what? God is a creator. He spoke everything into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke the animals into existence, the flowers, the plants, the vegetables. Everything He did, He spoke it into existence. And listen, when God gave you life, He put a creative ability in your tongue. Did you know that? Do you know with your tongue, you can either bless or you can curse? There is a power in your tongue. I have counseled people in my office who have been destroyed by their partner, their husband, or their wife's tongue, who spoke evil words and things over them that just destroyed them. And at the same time, I have seen people build up. I finished preaching at times when I felt so low. I thought, boy, that was a flop. And somebody came up to me and said, Pastor, that ministered to me today. When you spoke those words today, it was like you were reading my mail. It ministered to me. And something with their words began to build me up. There's power when you believe the words that you speak, when they're faith-filled words. Jesus said, you ask whatever you want and it'll be done in my name when you ask the Father. Are you with me today? When you believe the words you speak. I have a vivid memory from the time I was about 10, 11 years old. My father had a friend that owned a bowling alley, and his grandson was there, the owner, one day, and he asked me to come and bowl with him. And I was a terrible bowler. I mean, a 50 was good for me. You know, I was not a good bowler. But I remember one time I was tired of watching me just get clobbered by this kid who would bowl and just knock them all down. And I walked up one day and I said, now you watch this. I'm going to throw this ball and all 10 of those pins are going to go down. And I go, wham! And all 10 of them went down. I almost died. I almost fainted. I said, watch, I'm going to do it again. And I threw it, and again, 3 times in a row, I threw a strike. That was the last strike I ever threw in my life, I think. To this day, I remember that. I spoke words, and were faith-filled words, and they came to pass. Amen. Are you hearing me today? I believe as children of the Most High God, God has put within us creative ability with our tongue. And you can either bless with that tongue or you can curse with it. Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. How important are your words? Matthew 12 and verse 36, Jesus put it this way. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Words are important. Wouldn't it be great if we had to actually think before we spoke? Because I assure you that most people don't. I can tell by what they say. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a preacher that came to a neighbor church, a church that I attended their youth group, and his name was Billy Skipper. And he stuttered, and I remember sometimes when he was preaching, he would start to say, and then he would pause until he was able to say it. And I remember thinking to myself, I bet that man hardly ever has to take anything back. Because sometimes he would be preaching and he would, and I would finish his, I knew exactly what he was going to say. I could finish his sentence for him. And he would just pause. And then he would say it. And I thought, boy, I wish I was like that. I open my mouth and words just come out. Have you ever said something and you could just see your words coming out and you were reaching to grab them and pull them back in, but it was too late? Honey, do I look good in this dress? You gals liked Kathy's joke yesterday, didn't you? I gave it to her. Men, just so you don't know, the lady comes in. Her husband's young pastor, and he don't have a lot of money, and has a meager salary. And so she says, honey, I gave you the joke. Why don't you let me tell it? So he's going over the checkbook, and he sees she spent $250 on this dress. And he says, is this true? Did you really spend $250 on this dress? She said, honey, I was at the store, and I looked in the mirror, and I looked in the window, and I saw this dress. And you know how a temptation is? I was just tempted, had to have it. And he said to her, why didn't you do what I always do? I always tell the devil, get behind me, Satan. She said, I did, but he said it looked good from back there, too. I'm going to watch the checkbook closely this week, and I'll... James chapter 3, I'm surprised you didn't say that when I sent you a picture of my new suit that I bought this week, and I just said, do you like this? And James chapter 3 and verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Notice what James said. If a guy doesn't stumble here, he's a perfect man. Most of our stumbling takes place right here. Isn't that true? We blow it when we get mad at our spouse or our children or somebody at work. And then we just say things that we wish we could take back. If a man doesn't stumble in his speech, he's a perfect man. I believe when God blessed men of old, he did so by speaking words. James speaks about this. He says in chapter 3, verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. How ironic that the same tongue we use to sing praises to God during our worship is the same tongue that will often gossip and curse our fellow man. God, please make us aware of the power of the tongue, that it can be used to build up people or destroy them. And we all must give an account for how we speak one of these days. Now, I want to share a specific blessing with you today that many of you have heard before. How many in here grew up in like a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, a mainline church? Okay, many of you did. Then I assume that many of you at the close of your service, your pastor would say this particular blessing called the Aaronic blessing. It says in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, that's the priests, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them. Now, before we get into the blessing today, it's important for us to understand this, that these words of the Aaronic blessing were words that had its beginning in the heart of God. These are God's words that he gave to Moses to speak to Aaron, to speak to the children of Israel. And it's important for us to see here that what sets this blessing apart from all others is that it originated in the heart of God. These are his own words that he told Moses, and he told the priests who would later tell the people. Do you remember when God told Moses, he said, your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew me as El Shaddai, God Almighty, which was his title. But God said to Moses, but I want you to know my name is Yahweh. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. I am that I am. And when you see in the Old Testament the Lord in capital letters like this, it's usually that word Yahweh in Hebrew. It's the name that God gave himself, and the name that he told Moses to tell the people of Israel when they said, who sent you? You were to say Yahweh. Jehovah, we often call it in English. Like our English word Lord, his name has four letters. Instead of L-O-R-D, they are Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And most Bible scholars believe it was pronounced with the breathy Yahweh. And when you translate it into English, it means I am that I am. Now, names are important, right? Names are very important. And God's name was also important, and his name meant I am that I am. Now, listen, when you need healing, he says, I am your healer. When you need provision, he's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. When you need peace, he's the Prince of Peace. And God tells Moses, this is how you shall bless the sons of Israel. Say to them, now it's interesting, God gives the words to Moses, who's going to give the words to Aaron, who's going to give the words to the sons of Israel. Now, again, like I say, if you grew up in a traditional church, you heard these words said probably on a weekly basis. Here it is, verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. What a blessing. Listen, these are the words God said. Moses, you have the Aaron and the priests. Bless the children of Israel with these words. The Lord bless you. The God who is everything we need, may he bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. What a blessing. Let's look at it now. He begins by saying, Yahweh, the Lord bless you. I like the fact that James said in chapter 1, verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. First thing God tells them in this blessing is to remind the children of Israel that true blessing originates from God. You might think Chrysler is your provider, or you might think whatever your company is that you work for is your provider. Grace Family Church, you're not my provider. My provider is God. God can meet my needs no matter what. God can provide for me. God can provide for my family. We have seen it over the years that God has supernaturally, on occasions, He's met my needs when I did not see how it was possible for it to happen. God reminds the children of Israel here, it's the Lord who will bless you. It's not your pastor, it's not your job, but it's God who will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that there won't even be room enough to receive it. Can you say amen? Amen. Do you remember the blessing God gave Abraham in Genesis 12 when He said, I will bless those that bless you? Come on. I believe God is blessing us as we bless His people Israel. I believe that with all of my heart. God desires to bless you. Do you know that? There are some people who feel guilty when they get a blessing. I can remember the early days of our ministry. One time I got a new vehicle and I was scared to drive it to church. I didn't want people to. And I remember one time I finally got the courage, drove it to church, and somebody said, boy, I'm in the wrong field. And somebody else said, boy, it must be good to make all that money, Pastor. I'm thinking my last raise was 34 years ago. Are you kidding me? I thank God that I'm not limited to my meager salary, that my wife can buy that $250 dress. Have you ever spent $250 on a dress? I don't think so. But I want you to know God desires to bless you. There are people that have this idea that Christians have to be poor. That is so wrong. Are you getting this today? God wants to bless you so you can bless others. A few years ago, I had a friend that was a billionaire, and as he was dying, he wanted to give me money. And I said to him, I said, Robert, I don't need your money. I said, I'm rich. He said, you never told me that. I said, now granted, I'm not a billionaire. I'm not a millionaire or even a 100,000-aire. But I want to tell you this. All my bills are paid. I owe no man anything. And I have money to help people who are in need. In my book, that's rich. Because there are a lot of people who have a lot of money who are not rich. Riches are not determined by the amount of money you have. Come on, are you with me today? Hallelujah. Man, I've been looking forward to this message all week. God desires to bless you. He said, Yahweh, bless you. I am that I am. He's already provided your needs. I love 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. See, I'm not blessed because of who I am. I'm blessed because of whose I am. God said, Moses, have Aaron and the priests say to the sons of Israel, the Lord bless you. They needed reminded on a day-by-day basis that they were God's chosen people. And so do we. He went on to say, the Lord bless you and vayishmerakaka and keep you or protect you. What an odd phrase when you think about it. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. We keep old photographs and we keep memorabilia and things we consider special. We keep our first card that our spouse gave us, or we keep, you know, little mementos and things that we keep. God keeps people. Matter of fact, He holds me where? In the palm of His hand. God keeps you and me, and he doesn't cast us aside. The word comes from this Hebrew concept of shepherds keeping their sheep and corralling them at night to protect them. That's the picture God gives us here when he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. See, I love that John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Do you know God keeps us today as his sheep? Are you with me? We live in a world full of danger. Man, the other day, about three blocks from my house, somebody shot somebody right in the head and shot another woman, and the guy died. Kathy comes home. I don't remember where she was coming home from school or where it was, or here at church. Yeah, it was a juicing class Wednesday night. She was on her way home. She's like, man, there's like 10 squad cars down the road there. So I looked it up, and two people were shot. There's danger all around us. But I'm one of those crazy people who believe if they shoot at me, it'll miss. I believe I have angels who'd take a bullet for me. Are you with me? Don't live in fear. Man, I know people who just live in fear all the time, and they're so afraid. They're afraid when they go to the store. They're afraid when they're walking to the car. As a child of God, you don't need to be afraid, because the Lord keeps you. You're his child. And God says here that a part of his blessing is the Lord will bless you and keep you. Reminds me of Psalm 91. Psalm 91 tells me, 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, it won't come near me. Psalm 1:2, I love this verse of Psalm. This is when we come into the city of Jerusalem, and it's 2 months from tomorrow that we leave. Is that hard to believe, guys? 2 months from tomorrow. I love when we come into Jerusalem, I have the bus take us to the top of Mount Scopus. We get out of the bus, everybody looks over at the old city of Jerusalem, and I read this verse. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. And you get this picture, you see when you're looking from the top of Mount Scopus, there are mountains that totally surround the city of Jerusalem. And God says, that's me. I surround my people that same way. As you're surrounded by a mountain, you're surrounded by me. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. I'm a kept man. My God watches over me like a mother hen watches her baby chicks, protecting me from the evil one. Say amen, somebody. Let's look back at Psalm 91. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. I always think of that when I walk into the hospitals and people are sick with MRSA or C. diff or whatever is in that room, and they want me to gown up and they put the mask out and all this. And I'm thinking, I don't need that. I got Psalm 91 over me. Are you with me, church? There's a blessing that's upon our lives. And then he goes on and says this in the blessing. The Lord make his face shine on you. And you say, what does that mean, Pastor Keith? God's using the metaphor here of the sun. Just as the sun shines on us and it breaks through the dark clouds and it brings light and it brings warmth, so it is with the face of God. The Lord make his face shine on you. May he light your path. May he warm your heart with his presence. Ya'er Yahweh penev eleka. The Lord make his face shine on you. Now what does it mean to have God's face shine on you? No matter how dark your day is, no matter how bleak your circumstances may be, I want you to know you're blessed because the face of God is shining on you today. Say amen, somebody. And when you shed light, you dispel darkness. You don't have to cast out darkness. Do you notice that? All you got to do is turn the light on. And when God's in our pathway, God is light, and in Him there's no darkness, the Bible says. So darkness has to flee. Say amen, somebody. Psalm 119, I love this. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful words that David spoke. That you would sense the presence and power of God, and that His word would be established in your heart. And let me ask you, what is the only way that God's face can shine on us? Remember now, here it is. And be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. You see, the only way God can look at us is through the eyes of grace. It carries the idea of a king stooping down out of grace to an inferior. He stoops down to be kind to us, though we are undeserving. Remember, God is holy. He cannot look upon sin. So when Jesus was hanging upon the cross, it went dark because God had to turn His back when His own Son was hanging on the cross because He carried my sin. So the only way God's face can shine upon us is He first extends us His grace. And through grace, God can see each one of us holy and blameless. He sees us perfect because of His sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. I love this blessing of grace. The Hebrew word is an elaborate word picture creating the image of two parties. One who has a marvelous gift to give, and the other one who is in serious need of some help. That same gift. That's the idea of grace here in the Hebrew. May God be gracious to you. Oh, the blessing of God's grace. To me, it's the greatest part of this blessing, that the Lord would be gracious unto us. His divine favor upon our life. God's ability in you to do for you what you cannot do yourself. That's the way I define grace. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this today, but I'm going to tell you, this blessing had a very personal meaning to me this week. He goes on and says, the Lord lift up His countenance on you. I got stooped when I got to that part. I'm like, what does that mean? The Lord lift up His countenance on you. And then I looked up, and the countenance means our expression, the expression of our face. I have pastored here now for 36 years, 34 years, almost 40 years in the area, but 34 years. How many years I've been here? 1984? Yeah, 34 years. Okay, going on 35. That's a long time. Would you like to imagine how many crises I have been with people over 35 years? It goes beyond the hundreds. And there are times when I walk into a room when the doctors have given someone a horrible diagnosis. And they say to me, Pastor, this is what the doctor said. Imagine if I went like this. Oh, should I call the coroner? Let me tell you about my friend that runs a funeral home. What would they do? Pastor, the bank is calling the mortgage on our home. Oh, can I borrow some money? Are you with me? You know what I always try to do? I always try to maintain a countenance of but God. Are you with me? It doesn't matter what the doctor says, but God. Are you with me, church? God can take your impossible situation and He can turn it around. And I want you to know, God lifts up His countenance on us. When I go to Father God and I say, God, I've got a problem. God, I've got a need. He never goes, oh. He always goes, come. Come all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Are you with me? The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May you have a good countenance. I've been struggling. Please don't ask me how I'm doing. You know, I know a lot of you guys even already asked me today. Don't ask me, because I don't want to lie, and I'm struggling in the flesh because, you know, I've been in a lot of pain, and it's like the doctor, I don't feel he was right. I went to the doctor after 6 weeks, and he said, you have scar tissue, and it's causing pain. And I had only had 5 therapy, and I graduated early. I was doing great. I was walking good, and then all of a sudden I was not doing good, and he's like, you need to go back to physical therapy for 4 more weeks or 6 weeks, and you got scar tissue. So I went back, and that made it worse. So a week ago last Monday, I had an emergency visit. I went in to see the doctor, and I'm like, Doc, something's wrong. I can barely walk. I'm in a lot of pain. And he's like, I think you damaged the fascia. You were going to the gym too much, and I think maybe you damaged the fascia. And he's going like this, and I'm like, I don't think that's right. Hope you're not watching this, Doc, but I think you were wrong. So I began studying and online and looking it up, and online I found there was something here called the piriformis, right? Because I had a pain in my butt. It wasn't you, but I had a pain in my butt, and it was, and I came to see it was this thing called a piriformis, and so I've started stretching that, and it's feeling better, and I'm starting to feel better, but you know, it doesn't matter how I am in the natural. I'm going by the Word of God, that it's by His stripes that I'm healed. We can't look at the circumstances, or the circumstances will make you go under. Are you hearing me? The Lord lift up His countenance on you. Numbers 6 and verse 7. See, this is a... Did I miss one verse? Let me just go back. I missed one. And give you shalom, peace. God concludes this personal blessing that the priests are to bless the sons of Israel with. And the Lord said, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. See, God's blessing always brings peace. Are you with me? I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Keith, how do I know if I'm doing the will of God? The will of God will always lead you to peace. I always say peace is the umpire for doing the will of God. If you both have peace, chances are you're headed in the right direction. Shalom, this word for peace, is different than our American word peace. See, for us, peace is the absence of conflict. It's the absence of conflict for us in America. That's not the kind of peace God's talking about. Because He said, in this world, you will have conflict. Didn't He? He's telling us here, this word peace means wholeness. It means prosperity. It means to be blessed physically, spiritually, and emotionally. See, that's what this whole Aaronic blessing is. It's a threefold blessing. God says, I'm going to bless you, that's prosper you. He goes all the way through, I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to give you peace. It's a threefold blessing. Are you with me? I don't know if anybody else will get anything out of this. I preached this for me today, okay? So if you're not getting a thing out of this, I'm blessing my socks off. Good preaching, Pastor Keith. Thank you. Now conclude, would you? Okay. Numbers, I want you to look at verse 27. Nobody ever quotes the last verse to this. Why do they go through the whole Aaronic blessing and they miss the important part? So they shall invoke my name, talking about the priests, blessing the people, on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Did you get that? See, there's times when I thought, boy, I got to bless people. I got to take care of their problem. And God's like, nope, you just speak my word over them. Leave the blessing to me. You getting this? I remember the early days of my ministry. I thought I had to heal people. And God reminded me one day, nope, you just lay your hands on them. You leave the healing to me. Come on, church. Invoke my name, he says. Remember what his name was? Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in Hebrew. I am that I am. See, my job is to remind you that God is everything you'll ever need. He's your provider. He's your healer. He's your Prince of Peace. He is everything you will ever need. Now, how do we receive all this wonderful blessing that I preached today? We get it by invoking the name of Yahweh. our God, who's everything we ever need. He says, you invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. I also love to invoke the name of his son, Jesus, Yeshua. There's something powerful about the name of Yeshua, Jesus. God desires to bless his people. He's just waiting on you and I to invoke this covenant. Now look at John 14, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Last week I had some guests from New England, or from Washington, D.C. area. And we were driving down the road to eat the last night, and they saw Jersey Mike's. We went by Jersey Mike's after we ate at Chili's. And they're like, wow, that's from our place. That's out from by us in D.C. We didn't know you had that. Next time we come, we'll have to go to Jersey Mike's and have a sub. I said, oh, that sounds good. Well, I hadn't been in a couple of years. And so Monday, I was just thinking about that. And so I thought, well, I think I'll go have lunch and just have a sub at Jersey Mike's. A diet sub, small sub, but nevertheless a sub. So I go into Jersey Mike's and I pull in the parking lot. I get out of the car. And this gentleman approaches me, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen before, but normally I'm like, okay, dude, no, back off. I got something I'm doing. I hate when they do that. We finish church here sometimes, and people are lined up out here, and most of it is phony. It really is. You got to discern whether somebody really needs help, and a good way to do it is to ask them if you can buy them something instead of just handing them money. Amen. But for some reason, when I got out of the car and I saw this guy approaching me, I had goosebumps saying, this is why you came to Jersey Mike's today. And he said something to me and I said, sir, I can't hear you. Can you come a little bit closer? So he walked over closer. I could see his wife was in the car. He said, sir, I just wondered if you'd help me. And I said, what do you need? He said, well, I just started a new job. And last week at a plastic factory behind Comcast, he said, and I don't get paid till next Friday. He said, my children are hungry, and we don't have any food in our home. And he said, I was just wondering if you would go over to the grocery store there at Schnucks, and if you would just buy some bread or some cereal and milk for my kids and some ramen noodles to get us through to Friday. And I said, sure, well, just follow me, please. And so he followed me over, and my flesh was saying, tell him just to wait till I go have my sub, and then we'll go over. And I thought, that's dumb. So we go in the grocery store. I'm just telling you, that's what my flesh said. I didn't listen. So we go to the grocery store, and he comes with me, and we walk in. It's strange. I got a cart, and I'm walking along with him. And I said, so we got milk, and we got got some bread, and I said, hey, you'll need some lunch meat. So he called his wife on the phone. What kind of lunch meat do we eat? And she said, you know, because we men don't know. You got to ask the wife. So she said, well, how about some of that black ham? So I said, here, let's get a pound of this black forest ham. We got that. And we'd go down the aisle, and I just would pull things and just put them in his basket, you know, and all he wanted was ramen noodles, but I wanted to make sure he had some groceries. So we get over to the ramen noodles. I can't even stand the smell of those things, you know. Even in a package, I think they stink. But that's what he liked. And so he reached down and he got a couple of the packages of ramen noodle, and he looked up at me and he said, how much? How many? I said, what? He said, how many? I said, man, get all you want. Get all you want. And he said, can I get a whole case? I'm like, yeah, get a whole case. And he got them. And it just hit me in my heart. And I thought, so many times with God, we look at God and we say, how much? How many can I have? And God's there saying, man, I got this. Get what you want. Just get whatever you need. And I want you to know, I went away. So I really thought, it's so true when the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. Amen. I felt so good having met his need that day and bought his groceries. And we went out to the car, and his wife's there. And I said, wait, before I leave you, sir, his name's David. I said, David, before I leave you, I said, I want to pray for you and your wife. He said, my wife just had cancer. She had to have part of her intestine removed. And I reached through the car window and took her by the hand, and I took him by the hand. And I invoked the blessing upon them. I said, Father God, I want you to invoke blessing upon them. These are your children. Bless them and keep them. Make your face to shine upon them. Lord, lift up your countenance on them and be gracious to them. And I began to speak. And he's like, honey, this man's a preacher. Of all the people that I asked, God brought us a preacher. Today, as we close the service, I want to close by invoking upon you a blessing today. See, I believe with all of my heart that when these words are spoken with faith and you receive these words, you will go out from this place and your week will be blessed. And I say to you today, the Lord bless you, Grace Family Church, and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, this day I bless every man, every woman in this building today. Some of them are going through struggles, and today was a point of faith where they have released this to you. And I pray as they leave this building today that they would go from here with the blessing of Yahweh on them. Father, as your servant and your priest today, I speak forth this blessing upon each and every one here today. And may they go from this place today understanding that they are under a blessing, understanding that blessing shall, goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life, and they will be blessed and overtaken by blessing because of you and your faithfulness, Yahweh. We worship you now. Stand to your feet as we close today. Thank you, Father God.